You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary
with Professor Jennifer Curtins. Kia ora, Jennifer. How are you this morning?
Morena, I'm good, thank you.
Nice to have you on the show. There's been a lot going on in the world. Let's start with the teachers' strike, because that was quite significant last week. We saw both primary and secondary school teachers striking, and there's still on the table the potential for more strikes if the negotiations don't go the way that the unions and the teachers are wanting. What's been your big takeaway from what we've seen? It's been a lot of sort of industrial action, it feels like, in Aotearoa of recent times.
Yes, and particularly with the public service, we often see this actually when Labor is in power, because there's an expectation, and probably fairly, that a Labor government who understands the value of the public service and the public sector more broadly will look after public servants, will set the bar for the for wages and conditions that they then expect the private sector to follow. So what we're seeing with this one is, while the primary teachers have been offered around 11.5% over the next 2 years, the secondary school teachers have been offered an increase that's less than the current inflation rate. And this is the big, you know, element of the cost of living crisis, which is, you know, if your bread and butter is going up by 7.2%, kind of need a wage rise that meets that cost, and that still doesn't give any additions. And of course, there's conditions, which is about, a lot of them are around teacher-student ratios in classrooms.
Mm. Yeah, totally. What do you think we can expect to see? I mean, we're going into an election year. It's already sort of starting to heat up, these conversations, particularly the cost of living. It's never far away from anyone's mind. What are we going to see, do you think, for the public sector?
Well, this is a challenge for the government, I suppose, because if they give everything to that the teachers are asking for, then maybe the nurses will go out and so on. So this can have ripple or contagion effects. But by the same token, we know that when we look at voting behaviour, we see trends over time that indicate that public servants are slightly more likely to vote left than right. And so, you know, they're going to have to be really careful about this if they don't want either non-turnout, or they want all their vote to go to the Greens, which I know we'll talk about soon. Yeah,
well, let's talk about that now then. We have seen the government reprioritise some of its policies, and there's been a lot of criticism from the Green Party, particularly around some of the more climate-focused policies or environmentally-focused policies that have been shelved for now, at least. What's your takeaway from the shuffling around we've seen from Chris Hipkins and his cabinet?
Well, it's kind of ironic, really, isn't it, that Hipkins is getting a fillip in the polls by virtue of a series of, you know, natural disasters in New Zealand that all the scientists are suggesting are climate change connected, and that we're likely to see more. And yet part of Hipkins' policy reset and what he's calling his bread and butter focus has meant that he's chucked at least four, if not more, of the climate-related initiatives that were there for under Ardern's leadership. So, you know, the biofuels mandate, the subsidy for EV vehicles, the social leasing car scheme, and you know, improvements of provincial public transport systems, but also ditching light rail for Auckland. So, you know, we're sort of seeing, we know it's climate change is a big problem, but we can't afford it right now. And so, you know, here, this is it was important for Hipkins to do a reset, to reposition himself as different to Ardern. We know that some of the reason why Labor was slipping in the polls is people couldn't get a handle on what the government had actually done for them. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of hip pocket type things that people sometimes vote on. So Hipkins is obviously resetting the party to be able to shore up the base, but in a different kind of way And he obviously doesn't really mind if the Green vote goes up because the Greens won't go with National.
Mm. Well, the IPCC, the International Panel for Climate Change, has just published their big final report this week, and it's been quite interesting looking at how New Zealand sits amongst the OECD. We're now one of the outlying countries. We have one of the highest increasing rates of emissions per capita, which is not a great statistic to have attached to your country. What do you think our government's response, if there is going to be any response, will be to this? Because we're seeing, as we've just talked about, a bit of a shelving of some ideas. Do you imagine that we might get more specific climate conversation heading into this election year?
Well, you know, that we really felt that this one, after the floods and so on, that this could be the climate election. You know, the way that we've had in elections around topics like inequality. And so, and this one really needed to happen, if you like, because with the COVID, you know, 2020 was the COVID election, even though climate change featured, it wasn't like the most pressing thing on people's minds. And the challenge for some groups with climate issues is that these are seen as nice to have, but the bread and butter things are what, you know, I need to still feed my family first. So you know, Labor's playing a sort of a really fine line. I'm not sure how they will be able to straddle both, and it will be really disappointing. We just need, I mean, I noticed Marama Davidson said that this is why people need to vote Green. And so this may be what the Green Party needs to get up to 12, 13, 14%. Of course, that vote will come from Labor. The big challenge for New Zealand, really, all of us, is around transportation. That's our second biggest emitter. And so by cancelling these projects or putting them on hold, you know, every sort of minute little point of the 1.5 degrees that we need to stay under matters to the really, you know, the climate issues we're facing. So transport will have to go back on. I think the other thing that needs to happen, and this is what some advocates are talking about, is that cities need to step up more. It's not all about the farmers.
Yeah.
And that narrative's quite important, I think. And so I've been talking to some farmers about this who vote Green, but they really want to see more work being done. So, you know, maybe that's about Wayne Brown as well and other city mayors stepping up.
Absolutely. Well, there's plenty to get stuck into on that topic too. Probably a good time to remind people that if they want to have their say on the Auckland Council budget, there's only a couple more days for them to do that. I think the 28th is the end of submissions. Doesn't take very long. There's lots of really useful templates out there as well. If you're not really sure what you want to say, but you know you want to say something, then you can find a lot of those with some really useful advice, I think, because there's a lot on the line at the moment, isn't there, Jennifer? So, yeah, plenty to talk about right now. Thank you for your time this morning, Jennifer. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
No worries. Thanks, Rachel.
Kia ora.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.